This is the Tom Likas Show.
Women love to say what pieces of shit they call.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Shut your fucking yap.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of our program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me, in a bonus up of the Tom Likas Show. In studio to join us, family law attorney Adam Sack. Adam!
Hey, Dad, I'm happy to be here.
Been a while.
I know. I missed you guys.
Yeah. Did you sit home and listen to your reruns while we were gone?
It was hell, Tom. You have no idea.
Really?
But I'm so glad to be back with Gary.
Do you ever take? I have to ask this question because I see you every week. And do you take a vacation ever?
Not really. I'm not the vacation type.
Really? So you can't relax. You have to be. You have to be wired all the time.
I'm going to rest when I'm dead. That's my plan.
All right.
I mean, I know what you mean. I've heard of it. I have traveled to a lot of different places, but it was always in the context of, like, business or work, or I was convincing myself that I had some higher purpose, you know, like some city somewhere I had to go to. But, you know, like when people go to the Bahamas and just sort of, like, lie on the beach or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm good for about 15, 20 minutes, and I start to get really, really anxious.
Oh. I had a feeling you were not the vacation type.
Well, I don't know. If you go to you went to Chicago, right, and you, like, went to some games and stuff, right?
Well, actually, when I went to Chicago, I was actually there on business.
On a conference.
I was there to appear at Podcast Movement. All and right. Then I spent a day walking around Chicago, and it was fantastic, but it was one day. But no, I spent most of the two-plus weeks, I spent most of it at the ranch, just enjoying the sun and the fresh air and my pool and some smoked meat.
Excellent, excellent.
It was good.
All right, well,
it was good.
I could see that. I think that's good for the mind or whatever.
Well, then when we come back, everybody's fresh. You know, everybody had their opportunity to see the family or see some friends. Or
I was losing track of what day of the week it was. That was very harsh for me.
Oh, my.
It's sort of the Tuesday thing sort of balances me, you know, and we've been doing this for years now, you know.
I imagined you sitting home listening to the replay.
Well, I always try to listen to my shows at least once or twice, but this thing about, like, I'm thinking, wait a minute, what's today's Wednesday? No, wait, today's Thursday. No, wait, maybe it's Friday. No, because it, you know, having not done the Tuesday as I'm used to, it was terrible, Tom.
Right. Well, here we are. We're back.
Yeah, well, thank God for that.
I know.
Could be that.
Oh, here you are, family law attorney Adam Sacks.
Absolutely.
What are you bringing to the table today?
Yes, of course. Well, we have to say something about politics, Tom. One of the things that I've heard from Hillary Clinton many, many times, and I really have to be fair and analyze the various reasons that I absolutely can't stand her. And I know that we talk about how, you know, she's like your classic, you know, ex-wife, pissed off, yelling at you, scolding you, and people are upset about this emails or whatever. But my hatred towards her goes much further back. It goes back to the when Clinton was president, her husband, of course. And, you know, she spent hundreds of millions of dollars as the first lady. She had no business to do so whatsoever. I mean, the first lady is a ceremonial situation. It's not mentioned in the Constitution. And in the modern times, you know, the first lady has a staff. And, you know, we see how some first ladies like Nancy Reagan picked up some kind of, you know, anti-drug thing, and they try to do some positive thing for the country. I think Nancy Reagan did Just Say No, and Rosalynn Carter did some kind of literacy or breast cancer awareness or something. And I think that's fabulous. But Hillary Clinton actually, you know, went ahead and tried to overhaul the healthcare system. She did it in secret. She spent hundreds of millions of dollars, as I said, Her plan was an absolute nightmare. It was rejected by the Congress and by the people. And at the end of it all, she said, you know, it didn't work out the way I expected, but I had a good intention. And I have to say that in my analysis of everything that's wrong with particularly American women today, I think that that is exactly it. You know, there's a great saying, which is that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And it's really amazing that, you know, people, especially women, are able to do horrible things and, you know, cause terrible, terrible damage and then rationalize it and say, well, it really came out bad. We wasted a lot of money. People got killed. But my intention was good. And that somehow fixes it. The connection that I make with that, with politics today, and I have to tell you, I know you're not a lover of Trump, and I find him very confusing myself, but you have to know that if Hillary does become the president, then all of the worst things that we hate about feminism and women's rights movement and all this other nonsense now is going to be taken 10 times further than it is now.
By the way, I don't happen to agree with that, and I'll tell you why.
Well, it is, Tom.
Congress is never going to cooperate with Hillary Clinton, just the way they've not cooperated with Barack Obama.
I agree with you, except look how much Obama has been able to do by executive fiat, okay, by presidential directive, and how much he has been able to accomplish in terms of the organizations of the government and how he manipulates them in terms of how they regulate things. Even if
you
can't
pass laws.
Well,
some of those things will roll back. The Supreme Court does roll back his order regarding immigration.
Of course.
And many of the things he wanted to pass never got anywhere. They never even got presented.
I agree, but look how much trouble it is to get to that place, okay? And by the way, if she wins on the Democratic side, obviously she's a Democrat, she's going to carry, as they say, on her coattails. If the nation goes that way, it's very possible that the Republican majorities and so forth in Senate and the House can shift. And the bottom line is...
By the way, if that happens, I don't think it's going to be because people love Hillary Clinton.
No, of course not.
If that
not.
Happens, it's going to be because they hate Donald Trump.
Well, they also hate the Republicans or whatever you want to say. But the reality is, Tom,
Republicans have committed suicide.
You know, I actually read a funny article there saying that, you remember was when before it was Trump, there was like a big group of 16 or whatever. They were saying that any of the 15 besides Trump could easily have beat Hillary, you know? But anyway, we'll leave that. The real hook, and this is the thing about existing law, and this is why even if she can't get her agenda, which is going to be very radical, through Congress, she can do a lot of harm. And this is, for me, this thing about good intentions is what's called weaponization. Now, I don't know if you know this, but generally speaking, a lot of the like things that they use, like anthrax or whatever, are not generally really dangerous by themselves. It has to be weaponized. And what I think I have seen as an attorney in my experience in the past several years especially is the weaponization of the family law code. Now, you have a lot of things that come out with good intentions, and this is really true. I mean, you know, there are men out there, there's no doubt about it, that are screwed up, and they're brutes, and they think they can, you know, slap their wives around. And, you know, we see this where it gets really unhinged, especially in the Islamic world, where a man has a right to sock his wife in the face or whatever. And you know, Tom, we talked about this. You talked about your grandparents' day and age where the husband, you know, would get angry at his wife or she wouldn't do something properly and he'd hit her or whatever. And that's sick. We don't want to have that happening in our society. And it's very progressed that we today say that that's not acceptable and we try to raise awareness. But you see how something with a good intention, a restraining order, is taken to a crazy place. And where it exists now, and this is something that's very, very significant and people don't realize, if your wife is angry at you, she can really fuck you with it. She can take something that happened or make something up or take something out of proportions or out of context and she can have you out in the street. She can have you prevented from seeing your kids. She can take over your house and all your property. And by the time you catch your breath and get a hearing a month later, okay, you're already in a very screwed position right from the get-go. And this is happening normally now. Restraining orders are a part of a very large number of divorces and separations and so forth. And this is the Hillary Clinton thing. Oh, well, that wasn't our intention. This isn't what we wanted to do. And yet it had morphed into Frankenstein. Now, Tom, you'll appreciate this. I was trying to get one of my clients to come on today as a guest to talk about restraining orders. And when I tell you the story, you'll see why he didn't want to come on. But he had actually been referred to me by a P1, and I was going to get that guy to come on. And ultimately, he didn't want to come on either. But you'll really appreciate this. This is a guy who did not have kids, and he was married, and he had his wife go nuts, and they got in these big fights, and she got a restraining order against him. So she had him out of the house, and she was poised to really stick it to him. And she was destroying his property and emptying out the bank accounts and everything else, real nasty. And she had told him, you know, if you ever dare to divorce me, you're going to be so sorry and I'm going to make you pay and all that sexy stuff. It's nice how if you really look at it, women really want a man to be their captive, essentially, because, you know, if you're threatening him to stay with you, that's not affection and love, right, Tom?
Well, the minute you get married, you're doing that. Yeah. You're handcuffing yourself.
It's not
what you're doing.
You're really putting the knife at your throat anyway, and all she has to do is sort of press. But the bottom line is we went into a very nasty hearing. She hired a lawyer, and we went forward, and she cried on the stand, and she did this whole crazy song and a dance about how scared she was and all that other stuff and all he had done to her and abused her. She really brought down the house, let me tell you. It was a long hearing. It went on for like an hour and a half to 2 hours. And I went after her with her story and the inconsistencies. I had him testify, and I had one of his ex-wives. He was married twice. His first wife came and testified that he had never been violent and blah, blah. Well, anyway, you won't believe it, Tom, but I won the case, okay?
Wow.
So the restraining order was not issued. And people were like, the witnesses, the audience, you know, the other lawyers, they were like, holy cow, what was that? And we went outside the courthouse, and he was hugging me, and he was thanking me, and it's so great, and I can't believe it. You're the greatest lawyer in the universe. Thank you, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so we proceeded after that with a much more fair situation where they were splitting up their property and whatnot. He wasn't getting it stuck to him because it wasn't under the kind of cloud of having a restraining order. And then, you know, I'm not hearing from him for a couple of weeks here and there, and he's not following up with me. And it turns out, are you able to guess what happened, Tom?
Of course, he went back to her.
He did, Tom. That's exactly correct.
Yep, I know.
Now, you know, people get in fights, okay? But, you know, if a woman calls 911 on you, okay, a woman takes you in for a restraining order, I would think that trust is lost. I could be wrong, okay? But the way that she did this is so absolutely unbelievable. Now, you got to remember, and this is something that you have to really kind of dig into a little bit. You remember she was on the show. My mom
you know,
is a single woman. And I grew up with her as a single person, and I listened to her and her friends talking, and this is not only just my personal experience, but if you look on the internet, if you look at women's writings, if you look at things that are kind of geared towards women, Cosmopolitan magazine, things like this, you know, there is a very, very general frustration today among women that they can't find a good guy, that they're aware of all the cowboys gone and there aren't successful men and men are all, you know, ungrown losers and immature and stupid and blah, blah, blah. And if you look at this situation, actually historically, apparently there was always this problem. And basically what you would call the more successful men in whatever culture, the alpha men, the men that had more, a lot of them would have multiple partners, and women were willing to be one among many partners of a man if he was rich, if he was successful in their culture. So a guy that had more money and more resources might have three or four women, whereas a regular guy would have none. And that is actually something that happened throughout history. Now, women today expect that this multi-billionaire is going to be only with them. But the more resources a guy has, the less likely he's going to want to be monogamous and be married and so forth. And yet, this is the thing. Women have created this illusion, and this is something that guys have to realize. I mean, it is such an illusion that you have this scarcity of pussy, where this crazy client of mine had to go back with his wife, even after what she did to him with a restraining order and trying to humiliate him. I mean, seriously, I could not ever look at a woman who did that to me. That would make me sick. And yet somehow they were able to reconcile. And I get calls from people now, and you know this is crazy, Tom, you must have heard of this, okay, who actually went through a whole divorce, split up their property, split up the kids, did the whole crazy thing, and then got married a second time. You heard of this?
Elon Musk.
Can you believe Elon Musk did that?
Yep.
Now, here, as you know,
what
happens?
And then got divorced again.
Well, there you go. It's not going to work out, my friends. You're going to find that the second time around is going to be a real issue of trust and understanding, and this person has screwed you. It's going to be very, very difficult to forget about all that, and it's going to end up being a secondary divorce. And by the way, since you mentioned him, my understanding is that this second divorce is going to cost him a fortune, billions of dollars, much more than his first divorce with her. And he should have known better. His experience was obviously to divorce her. If you go through with a divorce or restraining orders, okay, the only reason you get back with that person is this scarcity of pussy bullshit, okay? It's the same conversation. Now, I'm not saying you want to be the nastiest guy in the world, and you know, people say, you know, women are nothing, women are like buses, is going to be another one in 2 minutes, blah, blah, okay. This is a little maybe too cruel. You can definitely recognize Tom, you can have special feelings for someone, okay? That makes sense to me. So I understand that people get attachments, okay? So you don't say, like, you know, that they're all the same, who gives a shit, okay? But at the same time, you have to be able to recognize someone who's really hurt you, and somebody who screwed you over, someone who's taken your money unfairly, someone who's taken you to court, someone who's had you arrested, someone who's divorced you, someone who's given you trouble seeing your children, and then reconciling because she's the last snatch in the whole world. Okay, that's twisted. And this is the same conversation. This is the same thing of good intentions and trying to do the right thing. A lot of these guys told me that the reason that they married their wife the second time after a divorce was for the sake of the kids. That they thought that it was so upsetting for the kids that they would, you know, want to be back with them. The truth is putting your kids through two divorces is going to be the biggest trauma ever. Okay? There was nothing that could compare to that. That's ridiculous. Having done one and having at least it being over, but to mind fuck your kids that you're bringing them back again and then, you know, a year later divorcing again, can you imagine how confusing that would be?
No, absolutely. By the way, I have an interesting comparison for you.
Yes.
What you just described is very similar to diamonds. You know, diamonds are a girl's best friend. And
yeah.
You know, spend 2 months' salary on a diamond. The reality is diamonds are not rare.
Did you know that, Tom? There's no scarcity of diamonds at all.
Right.
So it's
very similar to pussy. The fact is, men think that pussy is hard to get, and it's rare, and it's special. But just like diamonds, there's millions of them around, if only you look around.
I think the reality probably is, you know, that for most guys, I'm not talking about these incredible, natural, gorgeous guys, but I think for most guys, you know, a woman says no, another woman says no, you get a lot of rejections out there, and when you finally have a woman that says yes, it's, you know, very special. You mentioned this, Tom. You were talking about, I remember you were giving instructions about talking to women, I think in bars or in clubs or whatever, and you said, let's face it, you know, you're going to strike out 9 out of 10 times, right?
Right.
I think that's the pain of it. You know, diamonds, like you said, gold is actually rare, but diamonds are very, very abundant, and what you have is a cartel, De Beers, that actually keeps them in safes and makes them come out very gradually so that they appear scarce and therefore have high value. That's a joke. That's actually a comedy. And the only idiots who fall for that, of course, are women who love diamonds and think they're the greatest thing ever, right?
Right.
That's got to be the thing.
And they force their men to go through that whole process of spending a fortune. And you could find a diamond down in the diamond district that was worth, you know, what they're really worth as opposed to what you pay in a shopping mall somewhere.
Right.
You couldn't even tell a woman that you were going to do that. Oh, my God. You got my diamond in some toilet bowl downtown. You didn't go to Jared or Kay's Jewelers or... You went downtown to some guy? What? It's ridiculous.
I think the scarcity thing, Tom, is really, really critical in thinking. And, you know, the other thing that's really true, I think, is that a lot of women out there, in terms of their actual sexuality, are very, very repressed. And this is something that guys also have to realize. And this is also counterintuitive, which is that the woman that carries on the most about sex and makes you wait the longest and makes a big issue of it tends to be terrible sexually. I mean, the truth is, if she's making you wait and making you wait and make you wait, is because she doesn't really like sex all that much. And it's not that important to her. So she's using it as a tool against you. And guys are familiar with that. And they say, oh, I got to wait, you know, don't know each other well enough and all this bullshit. And you know that friend zone thing, Tom, you talk about three dates. I talk to lots of guys that dated a woman for 6 months or a year or even more. And we're literally like, I don't know what's wrong with these women. They're just like teasing the guy. They're just stringing him along, you know. He's buying them stuff and whatever, and he somehow thinks he's got a chance. Or, you know, once she breaks up with the other guy or the boyfriend, that she's going to give him a chance or some nonsense. And, you know, that is just something that is absolutely never going to happen. And the truth is, you know, I don't know if guys want to be with your average, you know, slut that slept with everybody. But the truth is that there's definitely a lot of women out there who are not interested and don't like it at all and don't kind of repress their feelings, or maybe they're late bloomers or something. And so I think that that's also part of it. I think that when these guys find a woman who's really willing, a woman that seems to be into it, crazy as she is in other ways, they're willing to really tolerate a lot. And I think that that ends up being a whole different kind of nightmare. You know, you see this Melania Trump or whatever, and she's very elegant and very, you know, everyone's complimenting her on her speech yesterday. But, I mean, you know, she's a gold digger, right? I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, he's this kind of, I mean, I don't know if he's going to be a good president, but he's a very strange-looking dude, right? And he's much, much older than her, right? And I don't know if she would have been so thrilled and happy to be with him if he wasn't a billionaire. I could be wrong.
I'm sure that's true.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
But,
you think
my
it's
opinion,
true love?
He wrote a check, and here comes the bride.
Yeah, there definitely seemed to be some financial component. There's no doubt about it.
That would be my opinion.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, we'll take a break here. We'll come back with Adam Sachs. Family law attorney Adam Sachs is here to answer your questions about marriage, divorce, separation, child custody, child support, prenuptial agreements, postnuptial agreements, even a restraining order if you've ever gotten one of those. All you need to do is call us right now, right here, at this number. This is free legal advice for you if you start dialing right now at this number. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. 901-3000-TOM. We've got a line open for you right now. Are you getting divorced? Are you thinking about it? Are you doing the gut check at, say, 8 years? Are you doing the gut check to see if you want to stay there or not? Now's the time to call in and get your free legal advice at 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. Here we are. POTUS Hour. We are here with family law attorney Adam Sachs at 901-3000-TOM. That's the number here. 901-3000-TOM. Oh, yeah, it's 901-3000-866. 866. Thank you so much for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Adam is here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in with your legal questions for Adam. In a little while, we'll tell you how you can get in touch with Adam Sachs if you are really in the thick of something and you need a top-notch gunslinger to go in there and get the job done. And we'll tell you about that coming up in a little while. So here we are. Everything I'm reading, Adam, is that marriage is on the decline. As a matter of fact, I read that among millennials, we are at the lowest rate of marriage in recorded history. Do you know about that?
Yeah, absolutely. The age is getting higher and higher, and people aren't getting married. And I think that this is actually something that we're living through, which is a major societal change. And to be honest with you, I'm really, really happy. I'm really glad about it. I think that people have to recognize this. And, you know, no one's even talking about the reality of what's happening, which is that people are actually being logical and saying, what's the use of it? Why would I want to do that? This is something that is only going to hurt me. And I think that's fabulous. I really do. If you look at cultures, I mean, there are certain cultures of people. I talk to people like this all the time, you know, no disrespect, who are more religious, like some Roman Catholic types or Hispanics that believe in this stuff. A lot of social, societal pressure. Many people have that brought to bear on them where they're under a lot of kind of social pressure to get married. And they do, and that's fine, and I'm not trying to, you know, humiliate them or whatever. But it's something that was throughout history a very important thing, and that relevance, I think, is fading away. And, you know, you see this kind of stuff, and this is, I don't know if this is going to come up in these conventions, but I remember seeing this years ago where I think it was the Bushes were running for president, and they were talking about family values and the connection of family and the basic family values. And these are the very same people that have backed up all of these extremely destructive laws. And, you know, if you give these tools to lawyers, they're going to use them. I mean, that's just the reality, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I mean, when you create it in this way where you, as a woman in particular, you have so much advantage to making claims against your husband, that you're not just going to, you know, get, you know, a divorce, but you're going to get revenge on him. You're going to ruin his life. You're going to ruin his reputation. You're going to take his money. You're going to humiliate him with his family and his children. I mean, is it really so surprising, honestly, that women do this? They have every incentive in the world to do it. That's why they do it. How could anyone seriously believe that most people are going to, you know, take a break and say, well, you know, I could file that, but, you know, I don't want to do that, and I don't want to upset the guy, and it's not reasonable, and it's not exactly true. So, you know, I mean, that is, I'm sorry to say that it's just not the reality in today's world. And you see that people are more and more unhinged in these things. I talk to women. And they are, you know, absolutely merciless. And they just say, you know, I want to really stick it to him. He really deserves it. He treated me wrong. And what an asshole. And I want to make him pay for what he said or what he did. And it's on some level, I got to tell you, Tom, sometimes it's really sad. I mean, you just see these people that are so full of anger and hatred. It's like almost talking to someone who's a racist, who just hates, you know, whatever group or whatever. And you go like, you know, why do you hate them so much? What do they ever do to you? And they don't even really know. They don't even have a good answer for that question, you know? They're just full of hatred and bile and anger. And you see it all the time in this context. And it shocks me, I got to be honest. I really think that we have to get the pendulum to start swinging back a little bit the other way. Because as it is now, we have really vaginized. If you look at California, Washington State, all these other places, they're all vaginas. You have women governors, women senators, you know, women are running the show. And I don't mind that to some degree, but, you know, it gets nutty. They showed in, for example, in Sweden, Sweden's top government is all women. And it's not just women. They actually have said out loud that they cover what they call a feminist foreign policy. And if you look at Germany has a woman leader who has led the country straight down the toilet because of feminist foreign policy and feminist thinking and open the borders because we love everyone and we're all God's children and all this bullshit. You know, the United Kingdom has just put a female prime minister who is also very liberal thinking in terms of welfare state and open borders. And all these feminine things are basically going to bankrupt these countries. And, I mean, I don't know how that is rational. It's not justified to sort of like be like the way locusts do. You know, they eat everything and kill everything until there's nothing left. And that is definitely the kinds of policies that we're following. And, you know, the whole connection to politics is unbelievable. If you look at the deficit in the United States now, it's $19 trillion. You know, people don't understand what that means. That means that at some point in the next few years, almost all of the taxes that the government collects are going to go towards interest. And that's it. And the government's not going to have money left over to do anything except interest and entitlements. And that's sick. That's insane.
Well, I don't think it's any coincidence. Have you ever known a woman who can balance a checkbook? I don't think that's any coincidence.
Yes, but see, if we try to say that men and women are exactly the same, okay, then we say that, you know, what's the difference, right? You can put a woman, and maybe men are better at math, right?
I think so.
So then maybe wouldn't it be possible to have women do the things that women are stronger at, and men do the things that they're stronger at? In other words...
Well, I think the only time you're going to see that, and I think a day is coming at some point, but when women finally see that the reason that men don't want to be married and men don't want to be in relationships is because of divorce laws.
Right.
Because of the laws of these countries.
Yeah, but that's... that's the beauty of it, Tom. That's the whole point.
Right? I mean, if men just stay the course... And vote with your feet. And refuse to get married. Refuse to make commitments. Refuse to let them move into your place. This is war. And you have to boycott. You know, we've had embargoes against Cuba and others. You have to embargo these women. You have to make sure they understand. They're not getting what they want.
Right.
Period.
Exactly.
And at some point, the laws will have to be changed because they're going to have to give men incentives to get married.
Yes,
if no man will get married.
I know, but we're at that point now. That's the whole point.
We're still not at that point because I think there's a lot of women who still have not figured out that the reason they can't find a man is because of the laws as they exist today.
The statistics on marriage is an absolute free fall. It's a free fall. It's gone.
It is, but people attribute it to other things. They attribute it to people not being religious anymore, people not feeling responsible anymore, that men don't grow up. It's the Peter Pan syndrome. There's a list of reasons people use, but the reason you never hear is that divorce laws are draconian against men, that men have no benefit to getting married. There's no benefit to a man to get married. None.
Right.
And until we start giving men benefits for getting married, a reward for signing that contract, you know, my God, they'll give me $1,000 even at my Chevy dealer to commit to buy a car. You know, they're going to have to give men some kind of incentive to get married and stay married.
Right. No, at one time, you know, one time it was
we don't get benefits, we get hit over the head.
Well, one time there were tax benefits, right? That was always something that was trumpeted, how it was going to be, you know, you're going to get all these great benefits on your taxes. I think that's no longer true. Very, very slight, if anything. And the downside is too extreme. But you see, no one's even having a rational discussion right now about changing this. And you could argue that our society, in some way, is collapsing. You know, if you look at that family, if you believe that it's the basis of society, and when family is completely undermined, then society's collapsing. And this is something that's a joke. And you're telling me that bringing an extremely left-wing woman to be the president is going to fix the problem, Tom?
I don't think electing any president is going to fix the problem. I also don't think that electing a womanizer who fucked around on every wife that I know of, who goes out and marries models, who has been photographed on the front cover of Playboy magazine, and I don't see how that's going to help. But
listen, if this country is a joke, okay, and the most famous and loved person here is Kim Kardashian, then we might as well go all the way, okay?
Well, we pretty much have gone all the way.
Well, so therefore, who should be the president? It should be someone from reality television, right? How could you disagree with that? I'm asking
you. Is that what you think?
I'm afraid that I'm coming around to think that, yeah. It seems to me, okay, come on, seriously, out of 320 million people, this is the best we can do? Hillary and Trump? That's it? Seriously?
Yeah, but you see, we as a country don't care enough to change the system.
No, but why don't we have someone a little more intellectual running for president?
Because nobody wants to hear intellect. Nobody has the patience to hear the minute details of arcane federal laws and what have you. People don't want to hear about that. They want to watch the guy from Duck Dynasty speak at a convention. That's what they want to do.
I thought he was funny. But anyway...
Jeez.
Sorry. The reality has to be, you know, they show that guy Chachi, you know, from Happy
Scott
Days.
Bale.
Yeah, there you go. Now, if he thinks Trump is good, then he must be good. I mean, seriously.
By the way, Scott Baio in the radio days was a listener. I met Scott Baio at the House of Blues.
No way.
And he spent the entire evening talking to me about how much he listened to the show.
The trip.
So you know.
But I thought he's married and has kids and whatnot.
There's a lot of married guys. They love it. You have to understand, a lot of married guys listen and live vicariously through us or through my words here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of married guys who like to be out there doing whatever the hell they want. They'll never have the balls to do whatever the hell they want.
Amazing.
But that is what they would like to have happen to them.
Amazing. I don't know what to say about it.
Yeah.
But the reality is that this country, I'm sorry, Tom, it's headed in a very, very bad direction.
Right, but electing Donald Trump is not going to fix that.
Okay, I'm with you. So what are you going to do? Right. You're going to take Hillary? Hillary is going to be a continuation of Obama's BS.
Let me tell you something. My biggest concern is you got a guy from reality TV talking to Vladimir Putin.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And
you think Hillary can stand up to him?
Let me tell you something. I don't like her shrill voice. I don't like her personality. A lot of things I don't like about her. But she was the Secretary of State.
A real failure as Secretary of State, Tom. Come on, man.
You say that, but I know that she was sitting in the war room when Osama bin Laden was killed. She was there.
Yeah, I heard she was in the bathroom.
Yeah, well, Donald Trump was busy fucking models, whatever he was doing.
Sounds good to me, man.
Yeah, well, that's great, but I'd like the president to be, like, on call, paying attention to what's going on. That's what I'd like to see happen.
There's got to be something that made it be him. Okay, don't forget, as I said before, the Republicans started out with more than a dozen, right?
He ran against Ben Carson and Ted Cruz. That's what made it be him.
Well, why didn't the
country... And Chris Christie.
Why didn't the country choose Christie or Cruz or any
because
of these people?
Because these guys were simply morons and not interesting to boot.
Okay, you know, I'm not sure what that means. If you looked at particularly Christie, right, he's the governor of a major state. Cruz was a senator, right, or is a senator, I think, right? I mean,
but he's everything conservatives hate Christie is. New Jersey has the highest taxes. The business climate is terrible. Unemployment is terrible. People in New Jersey hate Chris Christie. Hate.
How come he's the one running? Who's the national?
Well, he's not running for governor.
Well,
he's not running for anything right now.
But if you look at nationally speaking, right, who's the upcoming leader that we all really respect?
I know
any
who
party.
It is. Chris Christie.
No, but tell me who it is. Any party. I don't care. Left wing, right wing, whatever.
It doesn't matter who. I frankly think
I can't find anyone,
that
Tom.
This circus of a process that we have for picking people, which is now. The emperor has no clothes. It's become Survivor. It's become the TV show Survivor. That's what it has become.
Right.
And somebody who's really smart or really good at what he does, would he really want to put his family through this process. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't do it in a million years.
Well, you mean...
I've had people tell me you should run for it. Not in a million years.
The humiliation of them going through your life and everything, that's really...
Well,
that's
the point is, I think you need a really big ego, which certainly Donald Trump had the biggest ego of anybody out there. Because I don't need to be the president. I'm rich. I'm happy. I don't need to be the president to prove anything to anyone.
Right.
But clearly, this is an insecure guy. Probably guessing he has a small dick. He's got to go out there and prove what a man he is.
Oh, God.
And that's why he's running for president.
Well, you know,
that's
Tom,
the bottom line.
All great art is based on that very problem.
Well,
men having insecurity about their dick. That's a fact. I'm sorry.
Right? Well, I understand that. And so, think of all the intelligent people out there, the good people who are out there. I don't know. Warren Buffett. Here's a guy. He's smart. He's rich for a reason. He knows how things work. He knows how the world works. Why would he want to subject himself to something like that?
Right.
As an example. And I'm not even sure what his politics are. But, here's somebody who at least is intelligent, educated, knows how things work. He would never consider running for president.
He's not exactly a crowd pleaser anyway.
What do you mean he's not
very,
a crowd pleaser?
He's very reclusive, if you've ever seen him speak. He's not charismatic.
No, he is not reclusive, though. He makes plenty of public appearances, does plenty of interviews. He writes books. I have read his books. I have watched him, whether it's reading his annual letter to the shareholders of Berkshire Hathaway or whatever. But, does he really want to be out on the campaign trail? One day in 1947, he hired a hooker, and that's going to come out? You really want to do that?
Right.
No. No. So the system is rigged to keep intelligent, qualified people out. It's what it is.
Hey.
I will take one more break. We'll come back with Adam, and we'll tell you how to get in touch with him. And get the legal advice that you need. He's family law attorney Adam Sachs. On your telephone calls at 901-3000-866.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Oh, yeah. It's the Tom Likas Show. The bonus hour. And Adam Sachs, how can the... people who want to get divorced, which I think is a smart thing to do. Do the gut check, boys.
10 years, Tom. 10 years.
Well, so maybe if you're in year 8, it's time to do a gut check.
No doubt about
so
it.
That you do not try to push that deadline. Do not. How do guys get in touch with you?
They can call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out online on Facebook or my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And send me an email, which I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
There you go. All right, Adam Sachs. And if you missed out on Adam this week, don't forget, there'll be another episode with Adam. Adam will be back for the bonus hour coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Stick it in your rack. Let them enjoy it, too. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yay.
Doctors have removed a 2-inch ball of cat hair from a woman's vagina.
How do you even explain this?
Well, let me tell you. Broad says that she sleeps with her two cats, Cricket and Donut. She's been doing that for years.
I sleep with donuts, too, but I think it's different.
Right. You get all cuddling up with your donuts.
That's right, except for the powdered ones. That's a problem. And the ones with the sprinkles.
Oh, my God. She says that she believes that the cat hairs were pushed in there during sex.
Oh, my God.
And that more and more hair got caught on the strings of her IUD coil, creating a ball. Can you think of anything more disgusting than this?
She brings up a good point.
What?
About people that are saying that this is not real. Why the fuck would you make this up?
Right. That's very valid. Yeah, that is extremely disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, don't you know when there's cat hair being pushed into your vagina?
Not if it's attached to the cock that's going in and out, and plus the IUD opening, because the coil has captured some of the strings, or the cat hair.
Yeah. Amazing story about a California woman posing as the pregnant wife of her ex-boyfriend. You follow this? She was dating this dude, no longer dating him. Now he's married. And his wife is pregnant. She solicited a rape fantasy online, and then sent the responding people to the home of her ex and his pregnant wife.
Pregnant wife.
So guys started showing up at the door, responding to the rape fantasy sex that was posted online.
And there's so many sick bastards already on Craigslist. I'm sure there was no shortage of people willing to show up.
Yeah. It's not a good situation. She posted the ad on Craigslist for a partner to engage in rape fantasies, supplying pictures of the victim and the couple's home address. And
yeah, it looked like it. By the way, this is not our girl's first brush with the law. She the guy in this case is a U.S. Marshals Service agent,
yeah.
And she's also accused of sending emails threatening the victim and her unborn child. I guess they followed one of those restraining orders, but our girl violated it by stalking the victim. This is somebody who just won't quit.
Several of the dudes actually showed up at the house with intentions of raping the victim, but they didn't succeed. But one responder actually arrived and immediately attacked the victim, thinking that it was a sexual fantasy.
What a clusterfuck.
It doesn't get more confusing than that. And a Massachusetts man and woman accused of sexually assaulting a 16-year-old girl have been found guilty after the attack was posted on Snapchat. These two, Rashad Dayum and Carolyn Bonilla, 21 and 20, basically raped a girl on Snapchat.
Right. They took the unidentified victim into the woods behind an elementary school in Saugus. That's just north of Boston.
Right. Always happens in the woods. Bad things happen in the woods.
Saugus.
It's August. Plenty more news for guys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Leica Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Shit, I forgot my loofah and the lube.
Holy cow, what was that?